Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Nun Ches. We're going to pick up from, I missed yesterday, but we're going to pick up on daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page, at the two dots. Shomer Chinam Eino Nishpa. So we said that one of the unique qualities that Hekdeshos and various other items had in common was that a Shomer Chinam is not Nishpa on them, right? The Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Hekdeshos have a number of things in common. One of them is that a Shomer Chinam doesn't take a Shavua on those items. So we're going to focus on the fact that a Shomer Chinam doesn't take a Shavua on Hekdeshos. If a person is asked to watch Hekdesh for free, he's never going to have to take a Shavua that he was not Poshea in it. So it says the Gemara, Uriminhu, but we have a steerer to that. So if you have people who took their machza shekel and they sent it through a shliach to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, and then it got lost or it got stolen from the shluchim, so what's going to be the halacha about those shluchim? Those shluchim, we're assuming, are shomer chinam. So if they're shomer chinam, according to our Mishnah, we should say that they should not have to take a shavua, because a shomer chinam does not have to take a shavua about hekdeshos. Nevertheless, what does it tell us? If the Din Torah happens after the Truma Salishcha was already taken. So there were already funds taken for the purposes of the Karbanos HaTzibur. So then, Nishbal Negizbarin. Then the Shluchim are going to have to take a Shavua to the Gizbarim of the Hekdesh, and not to the guy who sent the original Shkalim, because that guy is already off the hook. As long as the Truma was already taken before it was discovered that his Shkalim were no longer on their way, so he's the person who sent them is already Pater, he's already off the hook. So the only one that's losing over here is Hekdesh. So since Hekdesh is losing, the Gizbarim are the ones that deserve the Shavua taken to them. V'imlav, but if they hadn't taken the Trumas Halishcha yet, and therefore the original guy who sent it is going to bear the responsibility, if it doesn't get there, he's going to be the one that's going to have to pay extra Shkalim. So who do the Shluchim swear to? Nishban, l'bnei Yair, u'bnei Yair, shakl nachayim tachtayan. Then the Shluchim swear to the Bnei Yair who sent the Shkalim, and those Bnei Yair have to take other Shkalim instead in its place. But what do you see? Nimtzu, and then afterwards, if Nimtzu or Shechziru Maganavim, Eilu ve'eilu Shkalim heimein olam lahem l'shana ba. If later on they find the Shkalim, or the, meaning assuming it was Nevad, or the Ganavim who stole it, assuming it was stolen, return the Shkalim, the halacha is both those old Shkalim that were recently found and the Shkalim that were given to replace them have a din of Shkalim. And in fact, the people who had separated, the Bnei Yair, who had separated a second set of Shkalim, cannot say, okay, let us off the hook for next year, that this should cover us next Rosh Chodesh Adar when they start being Mashmir al Shkalim. Let us off the hook. That doesn't work. It does not exempt them for any future year. But the bottom line is, what's the real problem over here? Is that our Mishnah said that a Shomer Chinam is not Nishpa on Hekdesh, and yet over here we see very clearly that these Shluchim seem to be a Shomer Chinam, and nevertheless, they do have to be Nishpa. It's a question of who they have to be Nishpa to, depending on the situation, but certainly they're swearing to somebody. They're either swearing to the Gizbarim because it's Hekdesh who's losing out, or they're swearing to the original Bnei Yair because it is they who are losing out. Bottom line is, though, they are swearing. So the Gemara is going to have three approaches to answer this stira. Approach number one, Amar Shmuel, Hacha Benosei Sachar Askinan. Who said we're talking about a Shomer Chinam? We're talking about a Shomer Sachar, V'nishpan, Litol Scharan. And why are they swearing? They're swearing to be able to collect their Schar, to be able to collect the payment for the Shmira. Meaning, if the Shomer Sachar is able to take a Shavua, that he wasn't responsible for what happened, so then he'll be able to collect his Schar. So, frak the Gemara, but wait a second, Ihachi, Nishban la Gizbarin, L'bnei Yirmi Bailei. Why would you ever swear? Why would, if the Shomer Sachar is only interested in getting his payment for doing the job of bringing the money from the ear to the Beis HaMikdash, why would he ever swear to the Gizbarin? The Gizbarin aren't the ones who are paying him. It was the Bnei Yir who are paying him. If all he's swearing is to receive his payment, he should swear to the person who's paying him, never to the Gizbarin, regardless of whether Nitrma Truma or not Nitrma Truma. No, in fact, he swears to the Bnei Yair, and when we say Nishban LaGizbarin, it doesn't really mean that he swears to the Gizbarin. It means he swears to the Bnei Yair, but the Gizbarin are there to hear the Shavua. And the reason we want the Gizbarin there to hear the Shavua is that the Gizbarin should not be choshe, the Shluchim, of stealing it themselves. In this way, that at least they'll have the peace of mind to know that the Shluchim swore, and knowing that, they'll feel a little bit better about it, and they're not going to be choshed. Or else another possibility is that the Gizbarim are there because we don't want the Gizbarim to refer to the Shomer Chinam as to the Shomer Sacharad, to the Shluchim, as a Poshea. So again, they will give them that peace of mind to know that the Shluchim are really decent people, and they just it wasn't their fault, and that's why they're going to swear in the presence of the Gizbarim before they collect their payment. So Frak the Gemara, but wait a second, they're going to collect payment? We're talking about a Shomer Sachar over here. And what happened to the money? The money got stolen or it got lost? So they're going to collect payment from the people who sent them? Isn't a Shomer Sachar chayiv in Geneva Vaveda? V'nignevu osha avdu katani v'shomer sachar b'gneva v'avedu chiyuvim mechayiv. Over here it said it was stolen or lost, and a Shomer Sachar in general, v'alach is, he's chayiv in Geneva Vaveda. Oh, but you'll tell me, no, it's Hekdeshos. And by Hekdeshos, you're not chayiv in Geneva Vaveda. Shomer Sachar's part, that was one of the things that Hekdeshos, Karkos, all the four things in our Mishnah had in common, is that a Shomer Sachar is not going to be chayiv in Geneva Vaveda on Hekdeshos. That's true. V'achanami nihid shlumi lo meshalmi. Igrayumi alafsid. But granted, so you're not gonna, they're not gonna have to pay. They're gonna be potter because it's Hekdesh, so they're gonna be potter from Gneva Aveda. But igrayum that meal ifsid, but at least let them lose the schar that you're gonna pay them for the job that they did for being a Shomer Sachar when clearly they didn't live up to the responsibilities of Shmira. They clearly messed up. They were supposed to, meaning what's expected of a Shomer Sachar is that he watched to the extent that it not get stolen or lost. If he didn't do that, so granted, since it's Hekdesh, there's a loophole, so he's not going to be responsible to pay for the damages, for the loss, or for the item that was stolen. But nevertheless, you shouldn't pay him, you shouldn't give him his wages for watching the item. So Amaraba, Nignavu Balistam Zuyun Avdush Tavis Finas B'yam. This kind of Gneva Aveda is not typical Gneva Aveda. We're talking about Gneva Aveda where it was clearly an Ones, where it was Listam Zuyun that stole it, or Tavis Finas B'yam, and that's why it was Nevad. These are clearly an Ones, and for this, even a Shomer Sachar on regular items, on non-Hektish items, would be Pater. And Mimela, the Shomer Sachar, if this is what happens to the item, can still receive his payment for watching the item, because he did watch the item enough. The Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara over here is an interesting discussion about what happens when you have a Shomer Sachar that doesn't watch an item karatwi, does not watch the item as he's supposed to watch the item, and nothing happens to it. Or, he doesn't discuss that exact case, he discusses, what if the Shomer Sachar has something that's Nignav or Nevad on a regular item, and he pays for it, because he's Chayiv in Gneva Aveda, does he still get paid for watching? I mean, he obviously didn't watch it enough, because it was Nignav or Nevad, and he's Chayiv in Gneva Aveda, so he's supposed to watch it to the point that it doesn't get Nignav or Nevad. But he pays, so he's Chayiv, so he pays for it, but do you still pay him his wages for watching the item? So that's the suffix that the Achronim have over here. The Chashukei Chemed discusses, Rav Zilberstein discusses in his Sefer as well. What are the two tzadim? So one side is to say that, look, I'm paying you to watch it. You obviously didn't watch it well enough, and therefore you don't get paid, because you're being paid to do a job, and you simply didn't do the job. Because obviously, if it was stolen or lost, or even maybe you could say if it wasn't stolen or lost, but I know that you were just negligent and you just got lucky and it didn't get stolen or lost, why should I pay you? I could have left it out in the middle of nowhere myself and hoped to have gotten lucky. I didn't need you to do that. So maybe the guy should not be entitled to any payment. What's the other side? That side seems very logical. I asked the guy to watch it. He didn't watch it. Why in the world should I pay him? The other side is, no, I asked him to watch it. He didn't watch it. That's true. But am I paying him because he's watching it? Or am I paying him because he's being mekabel achrayus on it? Meaning, I asked him to watch it, and he was mekabel the achrayus of a Shomer Sachar, which means he has agreed that if it gets stolen or lost, he's going to pay for it. Maybe I'm paying him for that achrayus. And that achrayus he still has. So if it gets stolen or lost from him and he's going to pay me back, so I should still pay him for being mekabel that achrayus. So that's the suffix that the achronim have over here. The Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara and Rav Zilberstein in the Sefer Cheshek Echemer quotes a number of other marmakomos to try to be poshet that suffix, but bottom line, it's a suffix in the achronim. Okay, period. That was answer number one. Again, the question was, our Mishnah says that the Shomer Chinam does not have to swear about Hekdeshos, and we have this Afna Mishnah where the Shluchim who are bringing the Machzah Shekel do have to swear to somebody, whether it be to the Gizbarin or whether it be to the Bnei Yair, they're definitely swearing. So answer number two, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hamani Rabbi Shimon Hi, Damar Kachim Shechayv Bachriyusan Yeshlem Nonav in Nishpon Aleihem. We're assuming this Mishnah that we quoted where the Shluchim swear to somebody is assuming like Rabbi Shimon that sometimes you do swear in Hekdesh. What kind of Hekdesh do you swear on? If it's Hekdesh Shechayv Bachriyusan, right? If a person says Hare Alai Karban, so even if he was mafresh one animal for a carbon and then that animal gets lost, so the guy has to replace it. He's chayiv bachriyusan. Whenever we have kachim that you're chayiv bachriyusan, so there is going to be a chayiv shvua. Shomer chinam will have to swear on it. And the machsa shekel is kachim shechayiv bachriyusan. Says the Gemara, really? Is machsa shekel always something that you're chayiv bachriyusan? Didn't the Mishnah itself say that it's not necessarily so? Hatenach ad shlo nitrma truma. Granted, if you found out that it was lost before the Trumas Halishcha was taken, so you're right, it's Chayv Bach Riusam, the Bnei Yair are going to have to replace it. But Mishnitruma Truma, Kachim Sheinu Chayv Bach Riusam Ninhu. But once the Truma is already taken, so isn't that, aren't the Bnei Yair already exempt? Meaning if by the time they find out that it was lost, the Truma was already taken, so aren't the Bnei Yair exempt? So it's not Kachim that you're Chayv Bach Riusam? Titania, and I'll bring you a brisa that's a raya, that they're not chayiv in the achrayus if they only found out that it was gone, that it was lost or stolen after shenitmara truma. What's the brisa? Tarmin ala avid, ala avud, vala gavoy, vala asad ligvos, that we take the trumas alishcha to cover those machsa shekels that have been lost. Those machsa shekels that have been collected and are in transit, that are already on their way here. And ala asad ligvos, those that have not been collected at all yet. So you see, included in the truma, it's supposed to cover any machsa shekel that's in transit. If it subsequently got lost, it's not going to be the Bailam's responsibility to replace it. So don't you see that it's not kachim shechayiv bachri yusan? That this is not an example of kachim shechayiv bachri yusan? Tosos over here points out that it's strange that we quote this brisa to prove that mishanitrma truma, that if you find out that it was lost after Nitrma Truma, that the Bailam is not Chayiv. Because that was beferish in the Mishnah that we quoted before. That was explicit. That if it was, we said, Im Mishan Nitrma Truma, Nishban L'Gizbarin. Why are you swearing to the Gizbarin? It's because the Bailam is not Chayiv in the Achrayas. Why don't we just go back to the Mishnah? The Mishnah, it's Muchach that way in the Mishnah. Why would we quote a Braisa? It could be the Braisa is a little bit more explicit, but nevertheless, it's a Kasha. Tosus leaves the Kasha unanswered. If you look in Tosus Dibra Maskel Detnan, he says, V'tema. Why can't you prove that it's not chayiv b'achrayus from the Mishnah itself? From the fact that the Mishnah itself says that you take the shvuah to the gizbarin, implying that the Bnei Yair have no loss over here. They're not going to be chayiv in the achrayus. So it is a little bit odd that we quote a brisa, but the point is still the same. The point is that answer number two doesn't work to suggest that the reason they're swearing in the Mishnah, the shluchim are swearing in the Mishnah, is because we're dealing with kachim shechayiv b'achrayusam. It's not true. It's not kachim shechayiv b'achrayusam if you find out about it after Nitrma Truma. Ella, so says Gemara, answer number three, Amar Blazer Shvua Zu Takanas Chachamim Hi. Really, you're right. The Shomer Chinam does not take a Shavua on Kachim. This Shvua is a special Takanas Chachamim, Shalo Yehu Ben Adam Mezalzlim Bekdesho, so that people will not treat Hekdesh lightly. So in order to make sure that people don't treat Hekdesh lightly, we're a little bit more careful over here, and we make them take a Shavua, even though on a Daraisa level, there's absolutely no need for a Shavua whatsoever. Says Gemara Vayter, Nosi Sachareinu Mishalim. The Mishnah had said that a Shomer Sachar does not pay for Hekdeshos that were stolen or lost. Rami Le Rav Yosef Bar Chama Le Rabba. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama asked Rabba a contradiction question. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Nosi Sachareinu Mishalim, that a Shomer Sachar does not pay for Hekdeshos Beishos that are stolen or lost, or a Minhi, but we have a Stira, because we're told by a Mishnah, right, this is Tosefta rather, in Nedarim and Shabbos, according to the Mesorah Shas, Asocher, Sapoel, Lishmar, Sapara. Let's say a Gizbar, the treasurer of Hegdish, hires a worker to watch over the para, not just any para, ha para, the para, namely the para aduma, meaning you have to watch over the para aduma to make sure that it doesn't become puzzle with aliyas ol by having a yoke on it or by developing some sort of mum. So the gizbar hires somebody to watch over the para aduma, make sure nothing happens to it, or lishmar satinok, to watch over the child. What child are we talking about? Rashi's gear says tinokos, the children. What children are we talking about? It's the children that they were megadel in chatzeros habnuyos beslaim, that they raised certain children from the time of their birth on a cliff with an overhang so that the children should be in an environment of pure tahara, so that when they these children are going to be the ones that deal with the paraduma, that fetch the water that is going to be used for the paraduma, because we want to make sure everything is done with absolute tahara. So they're born in a place that cannot possibly become tameh, because even if there's a dead body under the cliff, the overhang of the cliff forms an ohel so that it's mafsik the tumah before the tumah goes, so the tumah is unable to go on top of the cliff. So we have to watch over these tinokos that they should never become tameh. So these tinokos are watched over very, very carefully to make sure that they don't become tameh. This was one of the milos that they did by the Kohen Asarif Esapara to make sure that everything was on the absolute highest standard of tahara, right? They did this to compensate for a certain kula that they had in terms of the tahara of the paraduma we discussed previously. We're not going to get into now. But bottom line is the gizbar hires someone to watch the tinok, or lishmar sazraim. The gizbar hires someone to watch the zraim, meaning they have a field, and that field is plant is going to be used to get the grains from which the carbon omer is going to be taken from. So they need to watch over it to make sure nothing happens to it. Or Rashi says perhaps it's during the Shemitah year. So they need to make sure that they have enough svichim from the Shemitah year for the omer, for the carbon omer, and for the shtei alechem. So they watch over it to make sure that nothing happens to it. Asks Tosos, wait a second. During the Shemitah year, they're going to hire people to watch over the produce that's growing in the field to make sure no one takes it. Isn't that a violation of Shemitah? Isn't the halacha that Shemitah has to be hefker, right? And you're not allowed to watch over it. So if you look at Tosas, Dibur Maskel Lishmar Azraim, Nimtom Rehech Mutter La'omer, Kivin Sheshomer, Haksiv, Mimashke Yisrael Minam Mutter Li'Yisrael. Right? You're only allowed to bring a carbon omer from those grains that you would be allowed to use yourself. And Shomer is usher for you to use yourself. If it's during Shemitah, you're not allowed to be Shomer to make sure that no one takes it. It's usher Mliket Min HaMashumar. So it says Tosos, the last two lines, V'yeh Shlomar, Shalom HaYamochel Li'olam Milikach. Rak Shayamodiyin Sheyichtum La'omer Ma'atman HaYamim Milikach. These Shomer would not stop anyone from taking. It's just that if anyone would come take, they would say, I just want you to know that the Beis HaMikdash had their eye on this field to use that for the Korban Omer, for the Gantz Klal Yisrael, and for the Shtei Alechem, for the Gantz Klal Yisrael. So you could take it. By all means, go ahead and take it. It's just that the Jewish people won't have a Korban Omer and a Shtei Alechem if you decide to go take it. But it's fine. Go ahead and take it. So they would be sufficiently guilted into not taking it. People, okay, you know, I'll go steal from somewhere else. Not stealing. It's Hefker, Shemitah. I'll go take from somewhere else. I don't need to take from the field that the Beis HaMikdash needs for the Korban Omer and Shtei Alechem. But they wouldn't stop anybody. If you would stop somebody, then Nechanami would be asked. They would just inform them that this field is going to be used for the for those kabanos. But either way, if the gizbar hires people to do these jobs, einos noschar Shabbos, he should not pay them for the work that they do on Shabbos and watching over the stuff. Lefichach einoch raya Shabbos alav. And therefore, if anything happens to any of these items on Shabbos, if the child becomes tameh, or the para has an ol or a mum develop on Shabbos, or the field, people go in and take stuff from the field on Shabbos, these shomrim aren't responsible for it. But ha yischir Shabbos, schir chodesh, schir shon, schir shavua, noslo schar Shabbos. But if you hire someone, not by the day, you hire him for a week's time, a month's time, a year's time, a 7-year cycle, right, and you pay him by that, he has an annual salary, so then you could pay him for you pay him for watching that he does on Shabbos as well. This is what's called schar Shabbos b'havla'a, right? This is one of the ways that you're allowed to pay somebody for work that they do on Shabbos, is if you're paying them b'havla'a. You're not only paying them for work they do on Shabbos, you're not paying them by the day, and this is your schar for Shabbos. Let's say you have a babysitter works in your house, a housekeeper works in your house, and let's say she works 6 days a week, every day except Sunday. right? So you're paying her for the week, or 7 days a week. So you're paying her for the week. So then you can pay her for the work she does on Shabbos also, because you're paying her for a whole week's time. If your deal is, though, that she comes each day and you pay her whatever it is, $50, $70 a day that she comes, so then she comes Shabbos, you can't pay her $70 for Shabbos, because then it's you're not supposed to hire workers, dafka, to work for you on Shabbos. Obviously, it's a Jew, it's a bigger issue, right? I mean, but again, havla'a is a heter for a Jew, that you're allowed to pay someone to work. If he does work, you hire a bal korei. So the bal korei, you can't just pay him to come and lane on Shabbos. You have to pay him to come and to prepare for the laning during the week also. That during the week, there's a certain amount of preparation that he puts in, and that's what you're paying him for also. So it's bavla, it's for the whole job that you're paying him for. Anyway, so l'ficha chachraya Shabbos love, since they're being paid for Shabbos, if anything happens on Shabbos, when it's supposed to be under their watch, so they're going to be responsible. My love l'shalim doesn't mean they're going to be responsible in the sense that if anything happens, they're going to have to pay for it. So you see, there are shomer sachar. There are shomer sachar on items of hegdish, and nevertheless, they're still going to be chayiv in gnei v'aveda. You see that they're going to have to pay. Isn't that against our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said a Shomer Sachar of Hegdish doesn't have to pay for Gnev Aveda. So it says, well, no. We're not saying they're ever going to have to pay for anything that happens to those items. Well, the Hafsit Scharo just means that if anything happens on Shabbos, they're going to lose their payment. They're not going to get paid for the job if they didn't do the job on Shabbos. So, wait a second. So in the Reisha, when we said they're not responsible for what happens on Shabbos, so we're saying they're not responsible in the sense that they're not going to lose their payment for Shabbos. Umi islay schar Shabbos. Do they ever get schar Shabbos in the first place? Vaktani einos lo schar Shabbos. The ratio we were talking about, people who don't get paid for what they do on Shabbos anyway. So ishtik. So it was checkmate. He had nothing to answer to that. You can't say that it's only about the payment that they get for doing the job. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning the ratio, he wasn't getting paid. So amalei midi shmi alachba. So he said, did you hear any answer to this question? Amalei hachi amrav sheshes b'shakanu miyado. We're talking about a shomer chinam who has accepted upon himself that extra level of shmira to be chayiv for anything that happens. Meaning, even though in a chinami, because he's watching Hegdish, the Mishnah says he's pater from Gneva Aveda, but he made a kinyan to indicate that he's accepting upon himself a higher level of shmira to the extent that he's going to pay for anything that happens. So since it's kanamiyado, that's why he's going to be responsible to pay. And that's exactly how Rabbi Yochanan explained that we're dealing with a case where it's kanamiyado. Tosfos asks, but wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan himself later on is going to say that a kinyan is not necessary. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, even if lo kanamiyado, by a case where a shomer chinam is masne, a shomer chinam makes a tenai that he's going to bear the responsibility of a shomer, that he's going to be chayiv even in onsim. So Rabbi Yochanan himself says you don't need to be konamiyado. That ba'hu ana dekama hemenlei gomer meshavei nafshei, by the hana that I have that you trust me to watch the item, that's enough for me to be meshavei myself to be chayiv in onsim. I don't need to actually do a form of kinyan. So why over here does Rabbi Yochanan say you do have to do a form of kinyan? Why is this any different than a shomer chinam being mekablan himself to bear the responsibility of a shawel? So Tosus has two answers. Answer number one, v'yishlomer d'hacha d'patra afilu mishvua lo meshavei nafshei b'lo kinyan. Over here, where he was pater, his original situation was he was totally pater. He wouldn't even have to take a shvua that he wasn't posheya. So then, in order to go from there to actually being responsible to paying for it, that's a much bigger step, a much bigger leap, and for that he needs to make a kinyan. When Rabbi Yochanan said you don't need to make a kinyan, he's talking about someone who was a shomer chinam to begin with, on a regular item. A shomer chinam on a regular item has to take a shvua that he wasn't posheya. So he had some level of responsibility. He at least had to take a shvua that he wasn't posheya. So to go from that to bearing the responsibility of a shol to be chayiv in onsim, he doesn't need to be kona miyado. But over here, he's going from zero, from not even responsible to take a shvua. So for that, he's going to have to be kona miyado. Inami, second answer, Tosel says, Hasam kivin shemeschayiv kishoel svur ma'orim shehishelo, that over there he's become schayiv like a shoel, he's become schayiv and owns him. So everyone's going to think that he was a borrower. That's a geshmak ahana for him, because the whole world is going to think that this guy trusted me so much that he lent me his stuff. So that's a great hanah for me, and that hanah is enough that to replace the kinyan, that I don't need to make a kinyan to bear the responsibility. But over here, where no one's going to think that he's a shoel, right? He's a shomer on items that belong to Hagdish. No one's going to think that he was trusted any more than any other normal shomer. So there's no great hanah, and therefore you're going to require kanum yado. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachem Shchay Bachrus and Yesham Anav Shenu Chay Bachrus Amein Lan Ona. Rabbi Shimon says there might be Ona on certain Kachem if it's Chay Bachrusam, if it's the kind of Kachem that the Bailim bears responsibility for, which the typical examples where you say Hare Alai, where you don't say Hare Zu Karban, but Hare Alai Karban, that it's on me, and if this animal gets lost, I will replace it. Tani Tanakh made Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. The reason why you're chayiv by kachem shchayiv bachriyusan in the case of harei alai is because we could read about it, the pasuk of Bashem v'kichesh applies, meaning we're assuming that that's a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was a mal Bashem, right? You were mal Bashem when the shomer lost the item. So v'sheinu chayiv bachriyusan pater, but if it's kachem that the owner is not chayiv in the achrayus, you're pater shani kari ben b'misa v'kichesh, because it was a rebellion against the guy who originally was mafresh that kachem. When you were trusted to watch it and now it's gone, you went against him if it's kachem that he's not responsible for. So frek the Gemara, this is totally backwards. Which kind of kachem is more the bailims, is more ba'amiso, and which kind of kachem is more the ribono shloms, is more ba'ashem? The kachem shechayiv b'achriyusa, that the bailim is responsible for, isn't that more his, more the bailim's, and less Hashem's? And the kachem that the bailim is not responsible for, isn't that the one that's more ba'ashem v'kichesh? Why do we reverse it over here? Amalei klapelaya. It's just the opposite. Ibchum estarva. It should be the other way around. Amalei isamius. They said, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to erase it? I mean, that's the way we have the drushes. So explain it. I don't know. So amalei lo hachi kami. He said, no, this is what it means to say. Kachem shechayiv b'achriyusan chayiv disrabim b'ashem v'kichesh. You got the baseline wrong over here. It's that which we say b'ashem v'kichesh is not telling me that b'ashem v'kichesh as opposed to ba'amiso. That in this case, where the guy is chayiv b'achriyus, that's a rebellion against Hashem, but not a rebellion against the other guy. Right? It's not doing something wrong to the other guy. Now, obviously it is, because he's chayiv b'achriyuso. What it means to say is that you're chayiv, you're going to be chayiv shvua, carbon shvua, when you did something against another person. So when it's kachin that the guy is chayiv bach riuso, you're going to be chayiv carbon shvua. You're going to say, but no, he shouldn't be chayiv carbon shvua because it's kachin. So isn't it really primarily against Hashem? No, we could see, the pasuk says b'Hashem v'chichesh. So even if it's also kachim, as long as it's primarily against amiso, as long as it's primarily against another person, which is the case by kachim shechayiv b'achriyusan, so you're going to be chayiv. But v'sheinu chayiv b'achriyusan pater, when the original guy who made the kachim is not chayiv in the achrayus, you're going to be totally pater. Why? De'imit mi b'amiso v'chichesh, because you didn't do anything against him. So granted, it's kachim, but kachim you're not chayiv a carbon shvua for. You're only chayiv a carbon shvua when you did something against another person, and you didn't do anything against the other guy in this case. Period. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afa Mocher Sefer Torah Margalos Ubehemei in Lemona. Rabbi Yehuda added in our Mishnah that there's no ona on a Sefer Torah, on a precious pearl, or on a behema. So it says in Mar Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afa Mocher Sefer Torah in La Ona'a, Lefishen Ketz L'Dameha. Since there's no clear limit on the amount of money Sefer Torah could be worth, so if someone sells a Sefer Torah, there's not going to be an issue of ona'a. Now it's behema margolis in the ona'a mneisha adam rotsa lezavgan, and a behema and a margolis don't have ona'a because a person is the behema is only good as the behema behema is only going to be as good as the behema that you pair it up with. Meaning you need two behemas to lead the plow, let's say, or to whatever to do the job in the field. So if one behema is faster and the other behema is slower, the slow behema is going to slow down the faster behema. So one good behema doesn't really do you any good. You're always going to need a second good behema. So since that second good behema is worth a lot to you because it it will make your first good behema worth something also, because your first good behema is worthless without the second good behema. So mele, there's not going to be ona'ah on the second behema. And by the Margolis also, if you have an earring or a ring that has place a setting for two gems to go in it, and there's only one gem in it, one pearl in it, it's going to look ridiculous. You need the second pearl in order to finish up that piece of jewelry. It's like the example we gave a while back of one earring, right? If you have one earring with a diamond, it doesn't really help you. You need the second earring in order to make the first earring worth anything. The woman can't walk out with only one earring on her ear. So since you're always looking for a zivug, you're always looking to pair it up. So that's why it's not going to be ona'ah. The Rishonim point out over here, the Ramban, the Ritva both point out, this is only talking about nisan lokeach, that there's no ona'ah when on the lokeach, but if the lokeach buys it for too cheap, so there is ona'ah on the mocher, right? Because you don't have these svaras for the mocher. The fact that that the Sefer Torah is priceless, and that the earrings and the gems and the behema always need something to be paired up with. So that there's going to be ona'ah on. There is a machlokes rishonim whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or not. Many rishonim say, the Rosh and the Rif, I believe, say we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because after all, it's Rabbi Yehuda against Chacham, so we should paskin like Chachamim. But others say, no, we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Nimka Yosef and Ran in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that we should pass like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Gemara discusses Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which indicates that the Gemara is leaning toward Rabbi Yehuda. So Amr Lo, so the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, Valo Hakala Demrotz Lezavgan. Really, are gems and animals the only things that people want to pair up? There are a lot of things that people want to pair. They're always looking for a match for. So, but we say that there's ona'ah by other things. Rabbi Yehuda hani chashivilei v'hani lo chashivilei. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is really important to the guy. So since these are really important items, and it's very important for him to have a pairing of them, so that's why there's no ona'ah by these items. V'ad kama. To what extent do we say there's no ona'ah? You can charge whatever and it's not going to be ona'ah. Samar amemar ad kadei demayim. Up until double the value. Why up until double the value? What's the svara for that? So Shidum Betzis points out in the name of the, the Ochlus Chaim points out that it's very logical. The Torah Chaim points out it's very logical why double the value. Because if he's looking to pair it, right? So why is this second behema worth so much more than its market value to me? Because this second behema is going to make my first behema worth something also. But it's not going to be worth more than that. It's not going to be worth more than this behema times two. That's the maximum what it's going to be worth. The same is true with the gem. It's only going to be worth double what it could be worth, because it's going to make the first gem that I have worth something. The Shidum Gbetzes in the name of the Ravid isn't sure if we would say the same thing by Avadim and Karkaos. Would you say by Avadim and Karkaos, when we say Eino Noa La Avadim, Eino Noa La Karkaos, would you say also it's only until double? But more than double, maybe Yeshona, because you don't have the Svara by Avadim and Karkaos. Could be by Avadim and Karkaos, you would say even triple, whatever, it's still not going to be ona'ah. It's a suffix Shittim Betzes raises. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Af HaMocher Sus V'Sayef V'Chatitum B'Molchama Ein Lem Ona'ah. If you're selling a horse or a sword or a shield during times of war, there's also no ona'ah. Because how much is a shield worth to you in a time of war? Well, when you're being attacked, it's worth a lot more than whatever the cost of the production of the shield is. So since it's worth a lot more, it's worth your life to you. So therefore, there's not going to be ona'ah on those things. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's shita. The Shittim Gbetzes quotes from the Ramach over here. He says that he's not sure this idea that the shield is worth so much. Do the Chachamim agree to that also? You know, the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about the Sefer Torah and the Magalas and the Behema, maybe by the shield they'll be moda, because come on, it's your life at stake. So maybe they'll be moda that when it's your life at stake, that certainly there's not going to be an issue of ona'ah over there. However, the Shinu Gwetzes goes on to say that no, maybe there's ona'ah, the Chacham would maintain that there's ona'ah even b'shas molcham on a shield. Why? Because this is no different than a case of a guy who goes to a river and he needs to get to the other side, and they know that he needs to get there, so they say that we're going to charge you a dinar. And he says, okay, I'll give you a dinar, and they let him go, so he only has to pay whatever the normal fare is. He doesn't have to pay the full dinar, because they were clearly trying to take unfair advantage of him based on his needs. So here as well, they're trying to take unfair advantage of this guy based on his needs. They know that he's under attack. They have plenty of shields in the store. It's not like there's a low supply of shields. It's just that they're trying to take advantage of a a market that very much needs shields, and people are going to pay whatever it takes. And apparently they cornered the market or whatever. So in such a case, maybe the Rabbanan would still disagree, even in the case of the shield at the time of war. Says the Mishnah, Keshem sha'ona b'mekach, Umemkar kach ona bidvarim. Very important. Just like there's ona, but when it comes to mekach umemkar, there's also an isra in the Torah called ona as dvarim. Rav Yerucham Fushel Perlau in his Perish to the Rasag points out that from this line in the Mishnah is another raya. The Gemara is going to say Perish, but from this line in the Mishnah, it seems a clear raya that there's no ona as dvarim on a guy. Because Keshem Sha'onah B'Mekach Memkar implies that it would have the same limitations of Onah B'Mekach Memkar, and there's no Onah B'Mekach Memkar on a guy. But anyway, what are your examples of Onah Stavarim? Lo Yomar Lo B'Kama Chefet Sevuena Rotzalikach. Don't tell the storekeeper, ask the storekeeper, hey, how much does this item cost if you have no interest in buying the item? Im Hayu Bal Tshuva, Lo Yomar Lo Zechor Ma'aseh HaRishonim. If a guy's a Bal Tshuva, don't say, oh, remember what you used to do, how you used to eat pork and lobster and how you used to do all sorts of isurim. Not a good idea. That's a nostrum. That makes him feel bad. The Ilan Yaakov asks, does that make him feel bad? Isn't, what if you hold, like the Gemara says, B'makom Shabali Tshuvam, D'main Tzadikim Gemurim Amdim? Aren't you telling the guy, look, you're such a starker, you're so unbelievable how you overcame so much to become what you became? So the Ilan Yaakov says, no, but you obviously don't mean it that way. I mean, if you mean it to just remind him of things that he's done in the past that he'd rather forget, so that's Onas Tavarim, if it makes him feel bad. Imhu Ben Gerim, if he's a son of Gerim, Lo Yomar Lo Zechor Ma'aseh Avosecha. Don't say, ah, you know, remember what your fathers did? Your father was an Ovid Avodah Zara. Shnemar V'ger Lo Son of Lo Selach Tzenu. You're not allowed to make a Ger feel bad. I have an article on the Shul's website about how you treat Gerim. This is one of three Yisurim Daraisa about mistreating Gerim. There are multiple Yisurim Daraisa about mistreating Gerim, but Metzion Nuntes, Nun Chazan Beis, and Nuntes is going to be one of the three Yisurim Daraisa. Maybe we'll discuss it tomorrow. But anyway, the Tosus points out that the Mishnah is zu av zu, meaning that afilu ma'isa avosa ve'inu lahaskir. That previous line said, don't remind the guy of what he had done before he became a Baal Tshuva. The next line is, and even the ma'isa avosa, don't even remind him of what his fathers did, which is, one would imagine, a lesser insult. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Lo sanu isha samiso banos tvarim akas medaber. That pasuk is talking about onos tvarim. Atomer banos tvarim ueno banos mamam. Is it onos tvarim or is it onos mamam? So kshuomer v'chisem krumemker la misecha okanami ala misecha rei onos mamun amur. There's a separate pasuk to teach us onos mamun. Hamani mekayim lo sanu isha samiso. So what do I do with the pasuk of lo sanu? But onos tvarim must be coming to tell me onos tvarim. Says Tosos, how do I know it's not coming to tell me that just an extra lav for onos mamun, that there are multiple lavin for onos mamun? So Tosos says the rule is, if there's any other halacha that we can darshan from a pasuk, we'd rather say that it's not just coming to teach me an extra lav. Hakeit said, what are examples of anas tevarim? Im hayi bal tshuva al yom aloz chomar asecha rishonim. A guy who's a bal tshuva, don't tell him, hey, remember what you used to do. Im hayi ben gerim al yom aloz chomar asecha avosecha. If a guy is a ben gerim, don't say, remember what your fathers used to do. Interesting, it doesn't say if he's a ger, don't remind him of what he used to do. It says if he's a ben gerim, don't remind him of what his fathers used to do. The Marsha makes that diuk and says that maybe for a ger it's a compliment. For a ger to say, look, you used to be a guy, and look what you had the courage to change your whole life and to become a Jew, maybe that's a compliment. But to tell a Baal Tshuva that you were a Jew and you were chayv in all mitzvahs and you were eating ham, right? So that's not a compliment. But to tell a ger is a compliment. Im haya geru bal dilma Torah, if a guy was a ger and came to learn Torah, al yomer lo peshach on the veils of trefer shkatz and rasim bal dilma Torah shnerim piyak vura, you shouldn't say, wow, remarkable, the same mouth that ate in the veils of trefer all these disgusting things is coming to learn the Torah HaKadosha. Im ha yusurim ba'an alav, om hayu chaloyim ba'an alav, the person was suffering, so oshay mekaver his banav, or a person had to bury his children, al yomer lo, don't tell him at the shiva call, like I once actually heard someone say, Kederek Sharmalo Chaver of the Eov, like the friends of Eov said to him, Halo Yurasecha Ksilta Tikvaska Vatomdrachecha Zachar Namiyu Naki Avad, where obviously you did something wrong, God is punishing you, and that's why this is happening. Don't ever say that to someone who's sitting shiva for their child, that that they obviously did some sort of terrible avera, and that's why they deserve what's magia lehem, that, that they're suffering. There's an interesting question. Rav Zilberstein has the shaila, what if you have a kohen who marries a grusha, and the kohen is suffering from whatever, not children dying, he's suffering. Can you say, look, you're suffering because you married a grusha, you should get rid of the grusha? So he actually says yes. He says that that's not an isra over here, because he suggests that that you're not supposed to do it if you don't know of any particular isser, but if you know of a particular isser that the guy is doing, so you have to set him straight. You got to tell him that it's a mitzvah hachayach tochiach. You got to tell him, look, you're violating an isser and you're getting punished for it. So that's okay to tell him. One could have suggested, no, you could tell him he's violating an isser, but to suggest that you know exactly what he's getting punished for, what he's not getting punished for, one might have thought that maybe you shouldn't play God and assume you know all that. If there are people who are looking for grain to buy, you shouldn't tell them, oh, go to my friend so-and-so in that place. You can buy tvua over there. And you know that the guy's not buying tvua. This is what's called a practical joke, right? You're playing a joke on the friend, and you're playing a joke on these guys. But practical jokes aren't always funny. For people who are going to go out of their way, they're going to be embarrassed. You also shouldn't shop around when you don't have any money to buy anything with anyway. Period. Now the we're going to have to stop here. Just a quick line about the Gemara does not say that you're going to be responsible to pay money if you cause someone to go out of their way looking for a mekach that doesn't exist. It just says it's ona'as devarim. Why you don't have to pay money is a subject of a discussion in the Rishonim. It could be in the Achronim rather. Chassam Sofer says the only reason you don't have to pay is because these chamorim were in town anyway. It didn't cost them money. But if they actually paid money to get there, to get somewhere, then you would have to reimburse them for the money as well. Okay.